Happy Wednesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a special day, a different day with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeKemper is here. He's back. We're JoeBucksFan.com. The podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Sage, how are you today?
Doing well. We're back as a trio, gentlemen. Back at Panera Bread, where we belong, where we got a corner table reserved for us in perpetuity, Lee. I got my coffee. Who knows what the heck Isbitz is sipping on over there? I'm not even taking any guesses at what you got over there, DeKemper.
Oh, it's coffee, and I got to admit, I have nothing against Panera, but I like the scenery at Hooters much better. Better than staring at a loaf of bread.
Can't argue with you. You know, Steve, I thought you and I said all there was to be said about Jameis Winston, but I've been thinking about it, and you know what? No matter how deep a dive you go, there's still some loose ends to tie up.
Oh, my gosh. We only scratched the surface. Now, the podcast is available. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You're still on the top charts, Ira. Still in the top 50 in the nation on Google Play. Congratulations.
Nobody believes that.
Well,
nobody.
It's all there in your phone, on your laptop. Not very hard to find. Now, yesterday's podcast, if you didn't listen, if you're running behind, you can still catch that.
45 juicy minutes, my friend.
So there you go. Plenty going on. And, of course, we have all kinds of archive podcasts, Donovan Smith interview, Jameis Winston interview, and it goes on and on from there. Now, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ira, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, it's the Mission Morse summer event. It's on right now, and they're out to sell 3,000 vehicles in 60 days with the guaranteed lowest prices, all backed by Morse with our price protection promise. For full details, visit edmorse.com/promise. And Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, your favorite showroom, Ira, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Our good friend Brian Danahy has been on the program, and we'll see him again. And at Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon, get more peace of mind knowing every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon. All like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, Ira, get special financing, your favorite, and pay thousands less than new car prices, because if it has our name on it, you have our word on it. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Their showroom, of course, very beautiful as well, right there, Causeway Boulevard, easy to get to in Brandon.
Been there, baby, been there. Lee, that's a lofty goal, moving 3,000 cars out in a two-month span. That's lofty. That's about as lofty as picking the Bucks to win 12 games over there at the Kemper.
Where's your Escalade, Ira?
It's coming. It's coming. I'll hold Isbitz to it every week I ask him about it.
All right, Sage, we will talk more about our good friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon later. But we got a list, Ira. I got a list.
A list
of things to talk about. And
when he's got that sheet in front of him, Lee, you never know what the hell.
Well, you
got
to worry. What you get scared about is when he has a pen in his hand. When you got to start worrying.
I got my pen. I'm all ready to go. All right, Sage, look, the negotiation. A lot of people don't understand what's going on here. The NFL is in a process here of deciding on the Winston suspension if they haven't already. But the question is all the fallout after a suspension. That's what the NFL wants to manage. They don't care about Jameis Winston or Bucks fans. They care about the NFL. So that means negotiating with every angle of everybody associated with this. And Lee's going to drop a surprise angle, he says, on us that we haven't thought of. But we know that the NFL's negotiating with the union, right? They don't want the union parading out there that they're railroading Jameis Winston and all that stuff.
Look how many people are involved in this, Lee. You got Jameis's people are talking to the NFL people, and you got the union people, and you're about to bounce in with another angle.
Well, also, you got to remember the Bucks are involved.
And the Bucks are
involved. The alleged victim is involved. And by the way, people say, you know, how come you keep calling it a hassle? Well, you know exactly what happened in that Uber. Let Steve or I or Ira know. Then I'll write about it. I don't know what happened in that thing. But here's the other angle. The
scariest part is I'm not sure we're going to know after the NFL investigation decision comes down.
We won't know. It'll be similar to what Favre and Jen Sterger. No one really found out until I think she kind of fessed up what happened years later. The alleged victim is not a quasi-celebrity like Jen Sterger either. So.
You got fresh material over here?
Well, here's this to think about.
Well, let me add them up, and then Lee will give us the mystery one. So we've got the NFL is talking to Jameis's camp because the NFL doesn't want Jameis to appeal. That can be very messy. They want to broker a no appeal. There's the union. There's the attorney for the alleged victim. There's the alleged victim herself. Of course, the NFL could always do a non-disclosure agreement and settle, even if just to get everybody to make sure the lockbox is nailed down when this thing is done.
You got to appease the Bucks. You know,
You have to make sure the Bucks are okay with it. Otherwise, you know, they could go public. So who else we got, Lee?
Disney. Now you're thinking, Disney, what's Disney got to do with this? What does Disney own? Disney owns ESPN. How much money did they cough up for their TV contract?
Billion and a half.
Couple of billion.
Yeah, couple.
Billion with a B. And we don't know yet if you believe that Jameis is going to serve 3-game suspension. What's the third game? Steelers. When is that being played? Monday Night Football. Who's broadcasting it? ESPN.
So if you make it a 2-game suspension, that would be his return.
Ding, 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 ding. Now, on top of that, you know ESPN did not want the Bucs on Monday Night Football. You know that. Of course, the Steelers always bring a hefty audience, so they can get by. But think about it. You're a Disney executive or an ESPN executive, but this probably goes higher up. Goodell, what are you doing to us? You're wanting to open up the TV.
We don't want the Bucks to begin with.
You're wanting to open up the TV contract again. You want us to bid on another TV contract in a couple years, and you're hosing us like this? What are we going to promote? We got Ben Roethlisberger and what? We got nobody.
You know,
Ben Roethlisberger and nobody.
Steve, Lee's sounding like Hal Holbrook and All the President's Men.
And on top
Follow the money. That's always a good rule.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. In any line of work, follow the money. But on top of that, not just the fact that, you know, ESPN, how the hell am I going to promote this? Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers against who? Against what?
You say Tony Dungy's going into the Ring of Honor.
They won't even broadcast that for like 30 seconds.
Yeah. 30.
But here's the other one on top of that. You said, well, you know, that'd be Jameis Winston's return. Even the Jameis haters would have to admit there's one thing that Jameis does and does very well and did all the way back to college, maybe did all the way back to high school.
Bring eyeballs?
Bring eyeballs because he plays the role of wrestling heel very well. In baseball, TV networks want the Yankees because people hate the Yankees.
Love them or hate them.
Yeah, they'll watch the Yankees in the playoffs just to root against them. Well, here you got the squeaky clean good Steelers against the evil Bucks and this notorious Jameis Winston.
I don't know if I'd call Roethlisberger squeaky clean.
I didn't. I said the Steelers and the Rooney clan. And now that brings me another one. I'll just throw this on there. When's the last time you heard anybody talk about Roethlisberger, allegedly, because it was a police report, locking a girl in a bathroom and having his way with her while his goons were
looking
out?
Old news,
you don't
baby.
Hear about it anymore.
Don't hear about it.
Well, compare that to what Jameis is accused of. It's night and day. I'm not condoning what Jameis did. I'm not excusing
what he's accused of doing.
He's accused, exactly. Yeah. We don't know. But if what Jameis is accused of is true, heinous though that it may be, that's nothing compared to what Roethlisberger did. Roethlisberger, you don't even hear about that anymore. That was, what, 3 games as well?
That was four.
Four,
was
okay. Four, and I understand different code of conduct. I get that. But still, you don't hear that anymore.
They forgave him very quickly.
Because they win. And winning is the ultimate purview.
Steve, you want to weigh in on this Disney angle?
Yeah, I'm a little confused just because are we saying Disney, ESPN, do they want Jameis to play in the game, or do they not want Jameis to play in the game?
They want him to play in the game.
They want him to play a game. Okay. Well,
For a couple of reasons.
I'm not sure, because I know a lot of people, or they might be thinking that a lot of people are going to associate Jameis Winston with this. They're going to say, I'm not watching that punk.
No,
I don't know.
The opposite.
It's like the Yankees.
If it's his first game back from suspension, they'll draw a good rating just from that.
They'll draw a good rating because it's the Steelers, but it could be so much more. No one's going to tune in and watch Ryan Fitzpatrick. Think about the New York market. 35% of his Jets fans. They hate Fitzpatrick. They're not going to watch Fitzpatrick.
He won 10 games with the Jets, Lee. He did win 10 games.
1 year and he was garbage. Well, Jason McIntyre, Lord of the Big Lead. He has a radio show on Fox Sports Radio. And he's a huge Jets fan. He excoriated Fitzpatrick.
Well, I think what happened was, I believe they went 10-6 with him.
Yep.
And going into the last game of the year, all he had to do was win. And he had a bad game.
And
I think that's what
happened. To quote Jason McIntyre.
And they lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to.
To quote Jason McIntyre, he vomited all over himself.
It might have been Buffalo. I can't remember.
So.
It might have been Buffalo.
Well, it's interesting when Lee mentioned Disney. I thought he was going to go in a different direction, but it creates a new element for us to talk about. But the first thing, and Ira, maybe you know for sure, but I don't know if it's changed. I was always under the impression that the Monday Night Football contract and the Sunday Night Football contract allowed the networks to choose the game that they want with the limitation of a team can't appear more than 3 times on a Sunday night or a Monday night football. That's I was always under the impression that the network chooses
Sunday
sure.
night, yes.
I'm not sure the network has autonomy over
that. I've heard that about Sunday night football. I've read plenty of stories from national, I mean, they're media writers. It's all they do is write media. ESPN is last couple of years, pulling their hair out because they're stuck with these games.
ESPN executives have been upset. They don't like the schedules that they've been handed. They don't.
And I guess the element I thought where Lee was going was I thought maybe it would be like, okay, well, if Goodell wants all the ducks tied up, well, you know what? ESPN is the one outlet who has shown, at least during Jameis' days at Florida State, to be very aggressive in attacking Jameis and coming after Jameis. And they blew up, really, painted him as this big villain. Maybe the NFL wants to make sure that ESPN lets the story die as well. Because if ESPN really wants to, they could. They already had their investigative reporter, Levine. I forget her first name. She's the one who broke the thing about
the journey and Banks. the convicted rapist.
Yeah, so maybe that's something else. I thought he was going there, but it's all very interesting, the Disney end.
And you're right, exactly right. You know, they really went after Jameis when he was at Florida State. But guess who was always on primetime ESPN Saturday nights? Florida State, Jameis Winston. So
hey, along those lines, guys. This is not a big point. It's more of a journalism, in-house thing, but we've never touched on it. Speaking of the money that these networks give to the NFL, particularly ESPN, people wonder, how does this Adam Schefter get everything? Well, what's going on with this Adam Schefter? Now, I'm going to say this. He was a reporter in Denver. He might have been somewhere before Denver, and he was a heck of a reporter.
Oh, very good.
He's a heck of a reporter. Mm-hmm. So he was working on NFL issues. He wasn't working for ESPN, and he was breaking a lot of stuff. But since he's been on ESPN, and I've got some personal stories to tell, and one day I think I am going to write about it, involving Mark Dominic in particular, when he came down to the media room. I think it was something involving Josh Freeman, and he said, that stuff's off the record. I can't talk about it. And about a half an hour later,
Schefter had it.
Chris Mortensen had quotes from Mark Dominic on the same subject.
Oh.
So I think Grella might have been the PR guy, and I called Grella up. I go, what the heck's going on here? He made Dominic come into the media room because I wasn't the only one complaining. I told everybody in the room what I just saw on Chris Mortensen. Dominic came in the room. I go, Mark, how can you do that? I asked you point blank, on the phone or whatever. You said, off the record, can't do it. I think he said it in the media room. And he goes, I forgot to tell Mortensen that it was off the record. I forgot to tell him.
That could be, but it happened too often.
It could be, but it's happened more. The poor local newspaper, Schlubs, they're up against it to break the big stuff. Mm-hmm. They can get some day-to-day stuff, but you give credit when it's due. For example, and don't you dare edit this out either, Isbitz.
Uh-oh.
Stroud got last November or December, I think it was December, that Cutter was coming back. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
He was right. Schefter didn't get it. The local guy got it. Bravo for the local guy.
Hey, wait, why would I possibly edit that out?
Bravo for the local guy. But
don't worry, Lee, Steve won't block him.
Lee, you know my overall point, Lee. It's hard to fight the Ian Rappaports, the Lock and Forers, the Schefters. Very difficult.
Yeah, because the networks that they work for, they have a significant vested interest. Now, I remember one time I mentioned that to you, and you're like, hey, we were a Peter partner. I said, well, compared to the $2 million the Tribune gave the Bucks,
not to mention the Trib wasn't paying the Bucks their bills anyway. We were in abeyance for about a year and a half.
I don't know if this is going to veer way too far off, and maybe this is too inside baseball, but it's Bucks related, and it's interesting. I was told by someone in the Bucks organization years ago that the reason why you and Cummings and others didn't get tipped off first, and Schefter and Mortensen did, it was what we're talking about, money. ESPN had $2 billion invested.
Yeah, a good source on that.
It was a heavy hitter in the Bucks front office.
Okay.
And I mentioned this to another heavy hitter in the Bucks front office in recent years, like last 2 or 3 years, and I was told what's the first we ever heard of that. And Mr. Isbitz thinks that somebody was angling for a job, and that's why they kept getting tipped off by the right people.
All right. But there is a financial connection there, Steve, that can't be overlooked. We're talking about billions of dollars.
Well, sure. Sure. And, I mean, hey, if you're upset that the Times wrote a column about Jeff Vinnick, and he only gave him $1 million, like Lee said, to billions of dollars.
It's
of
amazing
passing
how
hate.
You try to tie things together.
Well,
right?
you're trying to throw around that I would edit out that Stroud broke a story, so I had to smack you down a little bit. Hey, one little conspiracy nugget, thinking deeper into what Lee threw out there about ESPN and Disney, maybe, just maybe, we all have known about this Jameis stuff for months and months and months, and so has the NFL and every, you know, the media and the networks. Well, maybe, just maybe, ESPN said, hey, if you're just suspending Jameis 2 games, we'll take him for week 3, and we'll get that first sit-down with him as part of the production meeting for the game, and we'll get the exclusive with Jameis.
Well, if the suspension ends up being 2 games,
right,
that could be the scenario.
It could get knocked down. So that could have been a...
We'll massage it for you, Goodell.
Well, they could have gambled. They could have said, well, we'll take it. You know, if Goodell said, hey, it could be 2 games, you get Jameis, you know, who knows? But it's interesting.
Well, here's another element. You know, Steve brought up that ESPN was aggressive in going after Winston. And, in fact, Mark Schlabaugh, he came up with Jameis' paying for... Or he was selling his autographs, which is obviously... verboten with the NCAA.
Is this Schlereth you're talking about?
Yeah. Not the former offensive line. And
okay.
That's obviously verboten with the NCAA. That was proven to be BS. But ESPN was so over Jameis. Not aside from the rape accusation, they were even broadcasting highlights of Florida State baseball games on SportsCenter when the NHL can't get a snippet. But they were putting Florida State baseball highlights. Why? Because Jameis was a closer. That's how much they were you know, putting Florida State football on prime time all the time. They were putting baseball. They had baseball games on because of Jameis. So, yes, they were aggressive in some ways, unethically aggressive on Jameis. They knew he brought eyeballs.
Hey, I got a question for both of you guys. Steve, no matter what the decision is, no matter what it is, how many games suspension, how detailed the NFL explanation is, no matter what it is, once it comes down in the aftermath, what should happen? What needs to happen? Are we happy with just a little 2-paragraph statement from the Bucks and Winston says nothing? Shouldn't people be going to a podium?
Well, before we answer that, Ira, we're going to go to fanretreat.com and the takeover. Everybody's got to text takeover to 345-345. Text takeover to 345-345. That is the way to get the first dibs on the information. Now, the ordering for the Bourbon Street Takeover, the trip to New Orleans with the Stick Carriers, with Justin Pulaski. I was just on the phone with him this evening. FanRetreat.com. This is all just about there.
I'm going to be there. What's the matter? Me and DeKemper don't count? What are we, afterthoughts over here? We're going to be there too, Steven.
You guys will be there.
All you mentioned was the commission.
I was getting there. All hey, right. But exciting trip. Bucks opening day. FanRetreat.com. You're going to be able to get a package of tickets and a hotel option and... There's the whole pregame, not pregame, but the night before party and flights. And just like you can get all your flights at FanRetreat.com, all your Bucks tickets, all your tickets to anything, use your Joe Bucks fan code. They're going to be emailing out opportunities for big discounts to like the first certain number of people. And very exciting. Kamish is preparing a podcast. There will be a Bucks Uncensored this week with more information on that because it is pretty much done right now, which is exciting. Announcement number 2, Sage. Number 2, training camp takeover is going to be Saturday, August 4th.
Right near the start of training camp.
Now, I'm going to let the commish explain on his podcast, going bonkers with it, like only he can. But training camp takeover is coming, and look for the commish's podcast coming up.
Can I assume that is a training camp day open to the general public?
That is one open to the public. We're going to hit on training camp. I know you got a lot of thoughts on training camp, Ira. We're going to hit on that. But we're going to get back to the Jameis thing. But I just want last reminder, fanretreat.com, to get the information on the trip first, text takeover now. No, actually just text takeover, comma now, to 345-345. Text takeover to 345-345. Fanretreat.com, exciting. The commish is going wild. Now, Lee, your answer to Ira's question.
I asked the question, Lee.
We heard your question.
What do we need to hear in the aftermath? What do we need to hear?
I don't need to hear anything. What I would like to hear is exactly what went down. I don't expect that. I mean, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Waterboard Jameis until he talks? We're going to tie him up outside on Martin Luther King Drive until the crows peck his eyes out?
Do you want Winston at a podium? Do you want it?
Oh, he'll be at a podium, but will he talk about it?
I'm not talking about waiting until training camp. I'm talking about this thing coming out in the next week or two, and I'm not waiting until training camp. Are we going to get Winston?
No.
Are we going to get Light?
No.
Are we going to get Cutter?
We're going to get a prepared statement from Nelson Luis and the Bucks media relations staff. That'll be emailed to everybody, and that will be that.
We're going to get Brian Glazer, Steve?
You'll get Brian Glazer at some point.
Ira, come on. They're going to do a press conference to address Jameis' 3-game suspension? What? Come on. They'll put out a couple of releases, and that'll be it.
I've got a better chance.
Want answers. I can handle the truth.
I got a better chance of a one-on-one and one.
Don't even mention her name, Lee.
Kay Adams?
Kay Adams. There you go, Kay Adams. Thought you might say Britt McHenry over there.
She doesn't work for ESPN anymore. She's a Trump
fan.
So,
in other words, your answer to me is you're getting nothing, Ira. You're getting nothing.
Well, you're not going to get anything before training camp. They're not going to have a special session of Bucks.
Your starting quarterback's getting suspended. Can't I get some answers?
Ira, we're still waiting for answers about Josh Freeman. How's that going?
Hey, Ira, there's a reason.
There's legalities involved. Ira, that's why we're not getting anything.
There's a reason that the deal is going to come down in the offseason, in the bowels of the offseason, because they don't want to have a news conference about this. There'll be opportunities to talk to these people, the key figures, and what do I want? I want someone to either stand up for Jameis. Somebody's got to say he didn't do it. Somebody. Otherwise.
Darby?
Somebody besides somebody on the Bucks has got to come out there and say he didn't do it, or Jameis needs to apologize and really let it out, whatever he thinks happened, even if it's with an interview with Oprah or something. We need to hear something.
You want him jumping on the couch like Tom Cruise did with Oprah? You don't care?
He didn't jump on on that show, but he wasn't jumping over Oprah. He was jumping over Katie Holmes. No. Understandable.
Well, like Lee said, we don't need anything. It's hyperbole in the sense that
he's got to repair his image, Steven.
The fan base needs to do that. If he did such a good job with his image, if his team didn't suck, which is really what it is, including the Bucks people as part of that, then all this stuff wouldn't be going on right now. It wouldn't be news to all these people who are acting nationally in the feedback that this is news to them.
Okay, as we spoke earlier about Roethlisberger, how did Roethlisberger overcome that, where his issue about the bathroom and the girl is an afterthought? Wins. Why are so many fans going bananas? They want the Bucks to cut Winston? Wins. If he had the Bucks in the playoffs last year, 80% of Bucks fans would be screaming how he's been hosed, he's been taken advantage of,
he's the
victim.
This is something we're going to be talking about right up till training camp and maybe past it. I've heard this suggested, and there might be something a little to it, but is there two Jameis Winstons? You know, we're going
to
be talking about that, Steve. Let's see what the NFL has to say. But as far as all of our personal, times that we deal with Jameis Winston, we don't see any problem at all. We don't see anything.
He's been fantastic with us. I'm starting to wonder.
Is it the company he keeps? I mean, there's a lot of questions.
That's part of it, because, I'll say this again. A couple of people got mad at me, a couple of Florida State fans. And this is not anti-Florida State in any way, shape, or form. Darby is the human equivalent of Pigpen, the Peanuts character. Wherever he walked, there was a dust cloud falling. Only with Darby, wherever he walks, behind him is a pair of police handcuffs and a defense attorney. The guy is trouble, man.
I don't care if Winston's jaywalking 2 years from now. I don't want to hear Ronald Darby coming to Jameis' defense over tripping over a piece of cellophane. Darby out of this equation.
I got to be I'm going to bury my soul here. And times have changed. Back in the 80s, I don't know if I ever told you, Ira, I got to see Ronnie Reagan in the White House. That's no joke.
Ooh.
When I was in college, somewhere there's a photo of me in Ronnie's driveway.
You passed security? They let you through?
That's a whole other story. That's a great story, how I was accosted by the Secret Service. That's no joke. Almost tackled. Well, anyway, when I was in Washington that one time, I'm a German Catholic from Southern Illinois with all the other Germans. Beer, I was brought up on beer like water, so I was hammered. It was a Saturday night.
Steve, are you listening to this?
I was in Georgetown.
He got into the Oval Office. Bartow.
No, no, I didn't get in the Oval Office, but I had a private. Me and about 100 other people had a tour of the White House that normally doesn't go to the public. But anyway, which unfortunately you can't anymore because of security. And I was hammered. It was a Saturday night. I was in Georgetown. I mean hammered. And I said to myself, you know what? None of these people are going to see me again the rest of my life. I'll never see them. Let's see what happens here. So I tried to pick up a couple of women. I did something that was too
keyword is tried.
I will admit that I said to one chick, and if looks could kill, I would have been dead 30 years ago. How would you like to have a sexual experience so intense it will change your political views? That didn't go over so well. Another girl.
I've heard a lot of pickup lines. That's top 10.
Another girl, I did something to her that I, you know, had. Jameis did that, he would be suspended.
Get ready to hit the edit button over here.
I'm not going any further. I'll tell you after we record if you so choose. But, you know, I've been there before. I'm not condoning what Jameis did, but it's just how times have changed.
Hey,
how
times have changed. I'm on record saying if he did what he's accused of doing, I'm chopping him up. I'm getting rid of him, and I'm sticking to it.
The reason why I brought that up, I wonder.
But I gotta know that he did it. Well, I don't want to hear that he might have done it. Sorry.
If you're talking about if it's fair that if he didn't do it, we should know it, of course, for Jameis' sake. If he did do it, we're probably never going to find out for sure unless the alleged victim comes out and spills the beans 2 or 3 years from now. The reason why I brought up this story, not to tar and feather myself any further, but it's crossed my mind. You wonder if Jameis can handle his booze.
That could be part of this whole thing, you know. There's some suggestion, Steve, that part of the negotiation is that Jameis has to hit on certain touchstones, otherwise the suspension increases. I'd be curious to see what those touchstones are. You never know what's involved, and I don't want to speculate.
What's interesting, and I did not see this video. Jeff Cameron, ESPN Tallahassee guy, first came out and said it likely 3 games, and he was right. He was the very first person. Adam Schefter gave him credit for that. Big Adam Schefter.
Yes.
Schefter gave him credit for that. Well, anyway, Jeff had told me, he had called me. I was up in Milwaukee at the time. I was in Milwaukee last week, and he was in Indianapolis. But anyway, Jeff had called me, and he said there was a video on Instagram of Jameis where he had taken his family to Topgolf. Maybe some of our listeners saw it. I did not see it. But Jameis took his family to Topgolf, and Instagram, there's a feature on video, I think they call it a storyline, which is basically a video, a fancy word for a video, that vanishes after 24 hours. It goes poof. No way to
frame. Where was the Topgolf?
In Tampa.
In Tampa,
and he took
right.
his family to Topgolf. And Cameron said in that video, though you cannot see the bartender, you can hear the bartender, and he asked Jameis what he's drinking, and Jameis said, "I don't drink." So maybe he's come to the conclusion, you know, weird things happen when I drink. I might be drinking my career away. I better fly straight here.
It's a potential subject.
Maybe some of our listeners saw it, but Cameron said it was on Instagram.
All right, Sage, what do you make of some of the celebrity reaction, the reaction around the NFL? There's been a lot of guys weighing in. Keyshawn Johnson, who said he knows Jameis. He coached him in high school All-Star game, and they chatted year and a half ago, something like that, and he just thinks he's got mental problems. A lot of guys party, they drink, they do whatever, they don't keep getting caught in these issues. And Keyshawn, his style is, you know, is fantastic. He's on LA radio. You had Lawrence Taylor weighing in. You had Tiki Barber saying, basically called out Tom Jones on national radio saying, "You can't be saying
Tiki or Rondé."
No, Tiki.
Oh, Tiki.
Tiki has a show, CBS
Sports
Radio.
I thought you put up a post about Rondé.
Hey, you didn't read it. Good job, Tiki. Ira. Tiki.
Oh,
that's Tiki.
I guess I took a quick look at the headline.
Yeah,
well, the photo was Tiki. You can't tell.
We see how you roll, Ira.
Who's next to come out of the woodwork? Greg Hardy and Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, come on now. Can I have some straight shooters weighing in on this thing?
I'm going to bring this up. I don't know if you want to react to this, Ira, or not.
Lawrence Taylor. Come on, you got to be kidding me.
Well, you know what? Of all people, he brought up something I never thought of before. I don't want to get graphic, but I'll let you use the pictures of your mind, your vivid imagination.
Get graphic.
Our listeners. Well, we have sponsors. Lawrence Taylor wasn't sure the specifics of what happened. He was interviewed on TMZ. He knew Jameis was in trouble, knew Jameis was accused, didn't know the specifics. The video journalist told him specifically what he was accused of doing. And Lawrence Taylor said, "I've never known of an Uber driver to get out of a car before. I don't understand how that could happen. Think of the logistics." I'm not going to go any further.
What do you mean, get out of a car? What do you mean?
Taylor thinks it's limiting that you could do such a thing unless someone gets out of the car.
Am I missing something here, Steve? Yeah, why can't you grope a driver while she's driving?
Yeah, Lawrence Taylor seems to think that's not possible. I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, anybody who has kids knows the little kids sit in the back. They reach over. They want to touch stuff all the time.
Well, I don't have kids, and I don't think LLT does either.
But the theory is that Jameis was sitting in the front seat.
I don't know what the theory is. It doesn't really matter. What did he do? We need answers. We don't.
Need, everyone's answers.
We need answers.
I do want answers.
We need
I
some answers, clarification,
answers.
And look, Ira, you said it best last Clarity. Podcast. Show me the work. You put in 8 months on this. Show me the math. Show me the work. So it's that
stop,
simple.
Stop forecasting my column over there.
Clarity. Ira wants clarity.
I want clarity. I want clarity.
And for a little clarity, Ira. Tiki Barber.
I want sunshine on a cloudy day. That's the beginning of My Girl.
See, that's a good song.
I'm singing a little Motown for you there.
For a little clarity, Ira.
There you go.
Tiki Barber, national show. He's on every day.
I thought it was Rondé.
I thought it was Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, my God.
CBS Sports Radio. He's been doing it for years, several years. He actually called the Bucks game for Fox this past year. Rondé and Tiki in the same booth. That was a national story. He even talked about spending time with Jameis in the production interview. So he's not Johnny disconnected. He's very connected, more than you might think. He actually revealed on his show. I listen to everything. Ira, so it's between me and Lee. We got everything covered.
Unbelievable.
He revealed that Rondé Barber has an office inside One Buck Place.
I believe it.
I absolutely believe that.
I believe it.
I absolutely believe it. So anyway, what was Tiki's main point, Sully? What's he saying?
Tom Jones is out of line suggesting no, he didn't suggest. He said, am I quoting this correctly? You can call him a sexual assault?
But Tom Jones said, let's call it what it is, sexual assault. And Tiki's like, this is totally out of line when you don't have the report. And with that information, he went on and on, but he didn't disagree that Jameis might be a little bit off, from spending time with him, but that's neither here nor there. So, Sage, look, before we get back to football, let's get to training camp. Buccaneers had a big announcement today, and we broke the story on JoeBucksFan.com.
10 a.m., baby. You press the button.
10 a.m. Anyway, now we're having a little fun there at the expense of some of our colleagues. And
you
look,
were told 10 o'clock, and that's when it went.
That's when it went. So the Bucs have made changes at training camp, Ira. They have cut the number of days open to the public and the general public, 6 days. You can go to training camp now. The remainder of the days are for season pass members, different VIPs, groups. One day is a military day, luxury suite members, different themes, and certain kids groups and other things like that. But there's only 6 days open to the public, which is about cut in half. Keep in mind, this year the Bucs are going to Tennessee for almost a week, and they'll have two practices up there, so that cuts things a little bit. The keys here, Ira, are no more bleachers at training camp. They're gone. They're not there. We've all seen that they don't exist anymore.
The trees are gone.
Now you can walk around all three fields during training camp and park yourself
on the outskirts of
the outskirts of the three fields. You can park yourself with a lawn chair. You can bring a chair. You can do whatever you want to do. You can mill around and take in training camp that way. Now, the indoor facility will be open for every training camp day, and fans can go in there and cool off. They're going to have cheerleaders.
All six days.
Now, how are you going to cool off with a cheerleader?
Steve, all 6 days, that day's practices will end with a session indoors.
Well, apparently every day is the plan where the facility is going to be open, so you want to go in and cool off, great. The Bucks might have some other things set up in there. They'll have cheerleaders doing some routines in there.
Now I know, when I look for DeKemper, at 11:15 on a Tuesday morning, I better go into the indoor facility over there because he's probably signing autographs on the cheerleader calendar. By the way, I think they discontinued the cheerleader calendar. I believe it's been discontinued.
Well, that adds on to what I was going to go off. I mean, well, first off, night and day difference between the Bucks and the Jags and the Dolphins cheerleaders. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. I'm not happy with the number six.
Hold on, Sage.
I'm not happy.
Hold on. We can give all the information. So at the end of all these practices, the season pass members are still fans, Ira. They still count. Anyway, at the end of these practices, the Bucks' goal is to have the last two periods where they go head-to-head, 11-on-11, that kind of stuff, to be inside the indoor facility for really just about every practice. And fans will get a warning outside that, hey, 20 minutes, get your seat inside. We're going to, maybe before a special teams period, get your seat inside. Bucks will be moving in there soon.
And there are bleachers inside.
And you can sit in the bleachers and watch the end of practice and blah, blah, blah. And they'll still be doing autographs and all that. So your reaction?
Well, I like some of it, Lee, and some I question. Let's go to the positives. You got a beautiful indoor facility. We were in there a couple weeks ago. You might as well show it off. And they're going to show it off. Bravo. Look, there's no 78 degree days out there. We've been through this, you know, 20 years. At the very least, you're lucky if you avoid the lightning and the thunder.
Yeah.
You know, so to know that they're going indoors, regardless of the weather, towards the end of these practices and give the fans a break, I say bravo. That's a big plus. They did that facility right. They did it
right.
Oh,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. All right, now let's go to the no bleachers. Lee, the covered bleachers. I mean, it's nice. It's a canopy. You're there all the time. You're sitting next to Roy most of the time.
For two reasons. One, there's shade. Two, good viewpoint.
I understand. Now people are going to bring their own chairs. Well, that's fine, but now you got to bring an umbrella. You're going to bake.
I didn't think about that. Yeah,
Lee,
yeah.
You're
going
to bake.
Well, you know, they have fans, albeit limited. They have fans at some of the OTA practices. I can't imagine 2,000 people at those three fields. What security's going to... I mean, it's going to be a nightmare.
Andre's going to be running around like
Andre, they're going to hire half the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department out there.
So, I don't like the idea of dumping the bleachers. I don't like it. I don't understand it, and I don't like it. But most importantly, on the negative side, I don't think six is enough. Look, it's kids before school starts in mid-August. That's the next generation of Buck fans, Lee. You know, you could argue that. They're not going to be able to see, unless their families happen to have season ticket, passes. They're not going to be let in. They're not going to be let in. Now, I understand, Lee, you and I understand. You always say follow the money, and here we go again. You're trying to stimulate season tickets sales. You're giving them another perk. We all understand that. We all understand that. They're not the first team that's ever tried to do that kind of thing.
No.
But six seems a little short to me, Lee, especially because a couple of practices are going to be up towards Nashville. That's not going to be in Tampa.
That's a couple extra that won't happen in
Tampa. So you add it all up, Lee, and I think for the non-season ticket holder, the non-suite holder, the non-military, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of people that don't qualify in those areas, I don't think they're going to get enough dose of their beloved football team.
I agree with you, and I'm going to throw something at you here. See what you think. About 10 years ago, they had a thing called a fan fest, did they not, at the stadium?
Oh, absolutely, every year.
Very popular.
Very popular.
Then they did away with that because...
It was at night. It was on a Saturday night.
Well, it was always on a Saturday. I remember that.
Yep.
And then they did away with it because they said, well, you know, we're going to have a training camp practice at the stadium. We'll have fireworks, and that will be the fan fest. Okay. So they started having a practice at the stadium. It was at night, like you said. Big turnout. They sold beer. Fireworks were there. They put on a big show for the fans. Like, they had competitions.
Right.
Fans got into it. It was great.
Right.
Well, then they did away with that. Said, well, you know, we're going to have all these practices open at $1, and there'll be bleachers there. And, well, now that's gone. And the only thing that got, you know, every couple of years gets whittled down. Onto what you said also struck a chord with me about, as Tony Kornheiser would say, the littles, the people that can't afford the season tickets, that maybe can only go to one or two games.
But they're still big Buck fans.
Yes, yes. At the stadium. And I see this a lot on Twitter.
That was a lot of fun that night at the stadium.
Oh, yeah. And I see this a lot on Twitter from, you know, your lunch pail Bucks fans. The guys like we're just talking
like
about
Joe
right
Bucks
now.
Fan.
You know, yeah. Well, you know, the guys that maybe afford a game or two and that's it. They can't afford season tickets. They're hardcore fans. And all these upgrades to the stadium are like, what are you doing for a regular guy? You got a bar. Okay, that's great for the suite holders. You have this for this. The suites were upgraded. This was upgraded. But nothing for, you know, the lunch pail fan. So more and more, the guys that are only going to one or two games a year, it seems like they're being shoved aside. And I don't know in a big picture if that's smart. Financially, I get it. You want people to buy suites. You want people to buy season tickets.
That's money in hand. Money in hand.
And a lot more money than single ticket sales.
So we understand that.
Yeah, I get that. But why? I mean, it's been incremental. Every couple of years, they're doing something to push the regular guy aside. Why?
And some price increases to boot.
That's, you know, cost of living, everything goes up.
But relatively,
bit.
The Bucks are
Sage. Man, you guys are negative, man, on this.
We're not negative. I gave you a positive and a couple of negatives.
I hear you. I hear you, but your trend, I was listening here very quietly. Your trend's a little negative. Look, the Buccaneers have 3 weekend days before school starts, 3 weekend days open to the public for training camp. Come on out. They're not telling anyone they can't come, you know? So I don't really knock them for it. How the average little kid, right, or the 8-year-old you're talking about, how many days is he coming out to training camp? Two with yeah. somebody? So he can come. He's got weekend days. Come on out. I think your average little kid, I'm just speculating here, but your average 10-year-old sitting sweating his groin off on the bleachers would much prefer to walk around and look at practice and look at stuff. So I don't know. I don't think it's a big negative. The indoor facility's open there, too. There's more to see.
What about the bleachers?
Hey, a lot of teams don't open the indoor facility for the fans. Now this is open for the fans.
I gave them a hooray on
I know.
One.
I hear you.
And what about the bleachers?
Huzzah.
The bleachers, and I wrote this, and I believe it as well. Hey, do both. Have some bleachers. You know, I don't see why they can't have some bleachers. And
I think you got to have some protection against that sun, Lee. It's brutal.
Well, if I remember right, the Bucks were one of the few teams that had covered seating for the fans. I saw the Texans on Hard Knocks a couple years ago. Nothing. Jacksonville, nothing. Now, the Dolphins had an indoor facility that they used a lot. Now, I can't remember if they had fans in there. Tennessee, Steve told me about Tennessee. Yeah. They have it at a community park.
Yeah, they go to a community park in Tennessee. It's about 7 miles from the stadium. Wide open, not barely a tree to be seen.
Now, I've seen a picture of the place, and it looked like there was like, I don't know if it was for media or, I mean, it was, put a couple tables together here at Panera, and that was the covered seating.
Hey,
it wasn't much at all.
I'm trying to look out for Joe Buck's fan. We're in a media tent. We got cold water.
And a big old fan.
And seats. So, you know, I'm trying to look out for...
I hear
for,
you.
But like I said, I was always up with the fans because I thought it was a better view, and it was covered. So I always liked to sit up there. And you would always go up there once in a while because you took pride in trying to get a pulse of the fans.
Absolutely.
You did that every year.
But you know what, Ira? I agree with you in the sense that just open it all up. Have some special days, but it feels like a lot. But I think thinking a little bit more, hey, they're open 3 weekends. I think everybody can come. And that training camp takeover is one of those days, August 4th, Saturday. Everybody can get free tickets for training camp online. Just go to Buccaneers.com.
They just want to know, you know, prepare for how many people
yeah,
are coming.
They want to get a sense of
it. So we're about a month away, Lee?
Yeah, we're about a month away. Yeah. You know what? I was hoping the takeover day would be August 11th. Because that's when
Kerwin. My birthday.
Well,
whoa.
Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, SiriusXM, NFL Radio,
yeah.
moving the chains, that's when they'll make their training camp stop store.
You already know that?
Jim Miller talked about it the other day.
Well, maybe Pat will take me out to Burns or something. Knowing him, it'll probably be Panera Bread.
Hey, you can get him on the podcast, Ira. Maybe he'll sit down with the old with the old sage, find out where
and
he's
staying. And he'll be there, too. He'll be at $1. So
August 11th, baby.
Back to football. You know, Jameis, this suspension appears very real. So one element to this thing is how Dirk Cutter is going to manage training camp, which we're just talking about. It's right around the corner now. The monthly countdown is here. How does he manage Jameis in training camp? And Jameis, on your podcast, Ira, talked about how he's a, quote, relationship quarterback. He needs time and a second year to cement a chemistry. Now, is he going to be the second stringer in training camp, cementing chemistry with Freddie Martino? What is he going to do for 3 weeks with DeSean Jackson if he's suspended? All of a sudden, Jameis comes back, and we know Jameis is prone to getting all jacked up and forcing the ball and doing things like that. It's going to hurt the chemistry, no?
Lee, my viewpoint is simple. I'm Dirk Cutter. I focus on the job at hand. Job at hand, week one, New Orleans. I ain't worried about week five.
Just like coaches always say.
Winston gets suspended for 3 games, all my focus shifts to Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. You don't like it, Jameis? You did it to yourself.
Thank you.
Take a seat.
He made his own bet.
Then after week three, you decide what's going on. Maybe you split it with Fitzpatrick, depending on who's going to play at Chicago or whatever. But as far as training camp, Jameis, you did it to yourself. If you're out for 3 games, you're going to be an afterthought for most of training camp. Where am I wrong, Lee?
Oh, you're not wrong. I'm going to go back to something that Steve mentioned. Your explanation kind of gave me an open mind a little bit, but I'm still not sure I could swallow it all. Steve was talking about if they beat the Steelers and Fitzpatrick wins that game, you keep him in the starting lineup. Now, when I first saw that, he wrote that on to an answer to a question on Joe Buck's.
Well, I think he's also thinking about the byway.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, when I first read that, I almost fell off my chair. Like, right. what was he drinking in Indianapolis over the weekend? I was like, well, wait a minute here. Jerry Jones wouldn't do that to Tony Romo. Tom Lennon didn't do that to Roethlisberger.
And you realize it's a short week and there's a bye week coming up.
Yeah, but when he first said that, I'm like, well, you might as well cut Jameis now if you're going to pull that stunt.
Hispitz hasn't lost his mind yet.
Well, I thought he did, but even then. I don't know if I'd do it. I mean, was that completely freak out Jameis? Does he go mental if that happens? I mean, that's... I don't know. I know where you're coming from, Steve.
I think if they're 0-3, all bets are off and Winston plays week 4. Nobody's going to question
Bingo.
That.
Yeah,
Bingo.
Yeah.
But I understand Steve's point.
Well, speaking of 0-3, Jason McIntyre.
Who gives you the best chance to win
each week
at Soldier Field? And I think that's a legitimate argument.
Cutter can't worry about anything else, but how is he going to win this week?
Well, we have to jump into reality mode. So the hypothetical is, no matter what the Bucs record is, if they win week 3 against the Steelers, then they're still alive. They're at least 1-2.
They're still alive.
Yeah,
they're at least 1-2. So that's a short week. The players won't be there Monday. They're not going to practice in pads on Wednesday. You're going to stick Jameis in to play, throw a little underwear football around and go to Chicago and fly out on Friday?
Yeah. Would you say the same thing if Jameis was injured, not suspended?
No, because he would have gone through a full training camp.
He's right.
No, he will go through a full training camp.
No, but with the reps. His reps are going to be interrupted.
His reps will be interrupted for 3 weeks.
But will they? We don't know that.
They should be.
No, when he's suspended for 3 weeks, he can't be with the team.
Yeah, but in training camp, he's going to be there.
Correct. He'd be there. But if he were injured, he'd still be in the game plan, in the meeting rooms, at practice, doing the walkthroughs.
Now, here's one. I see what you're saying, but what does a game plan against Steelers have to do with a game plan against the Bears?
Well, Steve's saying, he hasn't been around for 3 weeks. Now you're going to rush him in on a short week of practice. You're probably better off with Fitzpatrick at that point for that particular game.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, and I'm a little more open-minded than what I saw on face value a couple days ago. I still don't know if I would do that. I know where you're talking. It logically makes
sense. Hold on, Steve. I got another quick one.
Well, it brings, because the bye week is week 5, so it just, the only reason you'd rush Jameis back like that is because either the team is struggling or you've got some sort of weird twisted ego thing with ownership. But I think football-wise, he's going to walk in there Tuesday morning and there won't be anybody there. And coaches. And I don't think it's the smart play. Because Fitzpatrick won the game before. The team's confidence. Let Jameis ease his way back in. If he's going to be here the next 9 years, what is one game?
Well, aren't you playing with fire then?
I don't think so.
Well, to answer your question, if Jameis is that mentally weak, then we certainly don't want him.
Not just that, but do you completely blow up the chemistry? Like, all of a sudden, players are like,
you explain your thinking. You explain.
Well, you explain it. That doesn't mean they're going to follow along.
I understand.
I really think that's opening up a Pandora's box.
Well, let me ask another question, guys. Just a quick one. If Winston gets 3 games, do the Bucs need another quarterback on the roster?
No.
Or you go with Griffin as the backup to Fitzpatrick?
Well.
And let's not have any nonsense about an open competition.
What about the guy from Arkansas?
Between Griffin and Fitzpatrick in training camp. That ain't going to happen.
We're assuming here that this guy from Arkansas is chopped liver. He's got as many snaps in the NFL as Ryan Griffin.
I'm just saying, if Fitzpatrick should go down in those first 3 weeks, you have a totally unproven backup.
Well, who's going to be this backup for 3 weeks? Again,
I'm asking a legitimate question.
Would the Bucs do that?
Do you need to go out and get a veteran for the first 3 weeks?
No, because would the Bucs? No, because first off, they would, if Jameis was injured or if he's suspended, they would promote a guy from the practice squad, wouldn't they? I don't understand what you're saying, because some fans are saying go get Nick Foles, which is positive.
I didn't say anything about Nick Foles.
I know you didn't, but some fans on Twitter I saw proposed getting Johnny Football because he's got a chemistry with Mike Evans. Of course, that chemistry hasn't worked for how many years now?
I'd answer your question simply, Ira, for training camp. For training camp, yes. You got to get a veteran guy in here. That's just my opinion, because what are you going to do?
What veteran guy's going to be unemployed that you actually would want?
Well, okay, well, here we are. It's a second preseason game, and Fitzpatrick pulls a calf muscle. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. The whole season, you're toast. You need a backup for Brian Griffin. You want that to be a veteran.
Well, if you sign this guy.
So you answered my question in the affirmative.
Yes.
Well, following
not to play. and replace anybody.
I didn't say to play. I said as an insurance policy.
A veteran third quarterback insurance policy? Yeah.
If you're going to do that, why even have Ryan Griffith and the guy from Arkansas on your
roster? To be his backup. For the veteran to be Ryan Griffin's backup.
I don't know.
Oh, so you're saying if Fitzpatrick gets hurt in week two, you go with Ryan Griffin instead of that third veteran backup?
Now you're jumping six guns here, Sage. Look, training camp starts. If you bring in, just pick a name out of the sky, Mark Sanchez, okay, whatever. If you bring in Mark Sanchez and he knows, okay, I'm going to be a third, fourth quarterback here. I'm not competing. I'm here just in case. You got to do that. If you're look who you're playing the first few weeks. If Fitzpatrick pulls in a hammy or whatever, what do you got? You're going to go with Ryan Griffin with no backup and a slappy as a backup?
Well, I asked y'all, you're going to go with
Who is he?
He's a guy from Arkansas. It's on the roster.
Yes, we're forgetting about him.
Steve,
yeah.
Again, he's got as many snaps as Ryan Griffin.
Right. That's why you need a veteran backup.
Well, if you get Mark Sanchez, why even screw with Ryan Griffin? That's the way I'm looking at it. First off, who are you going to get that's only going to come in for 3 weeks? Unless Fitzpatrick's hurt. That's number one. Number two, why are you farting around with Ryan Griffin then?
Well, you need a backup for Ryan Griffin.
And again, I know we're going in circles, but yeah. That's why they signed this cat from Arkansas. I can't forget his name. Starts with an A. He was an okay SEC quarterback.
Yeah, but he's not going to get enough reps to develop and be ready to go
Neither
with
Sanchez, then.
But he's got experience. I just think you need the body. If you're serious about, if we all talk about urgency, and we've all talked about how these guys...
And you're covering your bases.
Yeah. Then... I mean, goodness gracious. You don't have to play the guy. It's just an emergency situation.
They're not even covering their bases at cornerback. So, string quarterback.
Do you guys disagree when I downplay any chance of an open quarterback competition between Griffin and Fitzpatrick in training camp? You think
crazy.
Griffin's got a shot? I don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
I think it's ludicrous. I think the fans who run around saying, oh, Ryan Griffin almost beat out Fitzpatrick last year, he was playing great.
He was never going to beat out Fitzpatrick.
He took one hit and broke.
Yeah.
Come on.
Broke.
He broke. It's no knock on him, but he's going to be 29 in November. He hasn't thrown a regular season pass.
There's too many jobs on the line.
And here's the thing about I'm not a Fitzpatrick fan as far as, you can't bank. He's not a starting quarterback.
Right.
However, having said that, he's never played with the receiving core that the Bucs have, number one. Number two.
And maybe they have a running game.
Maybe. And number two, yes, he went 2-1 last year, but people forget he damn near pulled that Arizona game out of his ass when they were done.
Arizona relaxed. I understand that.
Still, he brought him back. And so I'm comfortable with Ryan Fitzpatrick, especially given if he didn't have the receiving core.
You missed a great line from Izbitz yesterday. He doesn't even know that he said something important. But we were talking about the first three games, and Steve said it in all honesty. If you're going into a season saying you're going to go 0-3 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, why is he on the team?
You can say that about any quarterback.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, show a little confidence in this guy.
Well, publicly they have to, of course.
Pull out one win or two. Nobody's asking you to go 3-0.
That's all he needs to do is steal a win. That's all he needs to do. Now, Jason McIntyre, the guy who he created the big lead, he's on FS, one of these arguing shows. He's got his own Fox Sports radio show.
So he's big time.
He is, but I don't look at him as big time only because he's a good guy. But he is big time. He's a good guy. Steve's met him. He's a good guy. He's helped us out a lot.
Bigger than you, Ira.
I'm top 50.
I don't know. I think Ira might be better. I mean, Jason probably would even say he might be bigger than him. At any rate, he said Saturday, he was adamant, Bucks are toast.
I don't like that kind of talk, Kemper. I don't like it.
Well, you do know that teams that go 0-3 since 1980 have a 2.9% chance of making the playoffs.
I can tell you with some certainty, the Glazers do not believe this team's going to start 0-3. I think they'd be bitterly disappointed, even if Winston doesn't play, if they start 0-3.
Even with that schedule?
They think this is a pretty good football team.
Wow.
They think it's a pretty good football team.
And when's the last time?
Why shouldn't they feel that way, Steve?
And you did speak to them about 6 weeks ago, so our listeners know. You spoke with them recently.
At Lent.
I'm propping you up, Ira.
There's a lot of new guys on this team, Steve. There's a lot of upgrades all over this roster. Why shouldn't they think it's a better team? That can absorb Winston being on the sideline for 3 weeks.
it's June. Everybody thinks they have a better team. Of course the Glazers should think that. They're the ones who cut the checks to all these guys.
Unlike 2011, to refer to a line that the Kemper loves, unlike 2011, they made moves in free agency. Mm. They made moves.
That's Steve's pet peeve, not mine.
Okay.
All right, Ira. Look, Vegas also says that the Bucks are the drop-off value between Winston and Fitzpatrick is only 2.5 points in the spread. That's where they are pegging it.
I thought the opening line was 7. That's what I thought.
Yeah, so now it's off the board. They say it'll probably come back at 9.5. So that's one of the lowest
differentials.
Yeah, in the league, as opposed to some of these big ones like Aaron Rodgers to his backups. That's interesting.
What's your takeaway from that one?
Well, that's just fun stuff to me anyway. But I think what's interesting is that Vegas has not changed the line on the Bucks over under 6.5 wins for the season. That's the one to me that's interesting.
That is interesting. You know, now
that's not believing in Jameis.
You know, now I'll tell you what, Lee, a year ago, coming off 9-7, Vegas didn't believe in the Bucks either. While all the hoopla was going around, they didn't. So they usually know what they're talking about. Not always, but usually. And what was the line on the Bucks? 7, maybe, last year?
I can't remember, but I lost $20.
Steve, maybe 7, something like that.
Yeah.
Coming off a 9-7 season.
Yeah, 7
wins. And Jameis healthy.
Well, my dad always said they don't build those beautiful buildings in Vegas because the house is losing.
People nationally don't believe in this franchise, Steve. Let's put it simply. They don't believe in it.
How could they? You believe in the Chargers, Ira?
You know,
a little bit more than the Bucks.
I mean, they're a lot better than the Bucks.
Like Lee says, show me, show me, show me. Those are your two words going at the training camp, right? Show me. Show me. I'm not believing anything till you show me.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're wrong, Lee.
I hate to be Debbie Downer, but gosh darn, show me a positive. You know, I'm still hung up about, and I know our readers and our listeners get tired of me saying this, but son of a gun, that cornerback opposite of Brent Grimes scares me to death.
It's unknown.
Well, here's my problem with it, and I've gone round and round and round with people that the coaches have yet to demonstrate they coach up a rookie. Aside from that, Light didn't go out and get a veteran corner, so basically they're banking on one of these two second-round picks to play like Brent Grimes right off the bat against Drew Brees, like a seasoned veteran right off the bat. That's naive. I'm sorry.
And I guess what they're really banking on is Brees won't have nearly as much time to throw as he usually does against the Bucs.
Look,
that's the key.
The defensive line is going to have to be dominant. Not good, dominant.
I just can't wait for week one.
I think it's a beautiful matchup.
I believe they can beat the Saints with Ryan Fitzpatrick, so let's see it. You know, let's go out there and do it.
Hey, some people think Mark Ingram's a serious blow to the Saints.
And you know what? The Eagles are going to have a lot of change in their roster. There's no guarantee that Wentz will be back. And I understand, obviously, Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl.
And he's a buck killer.
But they've moved on from a lot of players, and that's why you play the games. Now, Sage, two things. First, your great sponsors and presenters, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. It's the end of the month. Great opportunities, great offers. You can see them at their website. See some of them at joebucksfan.com. Get out there this weekend. Great time to go car shopping, SUV shopping, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, Lee and I are going to yell at you a little bit. We're going to put you on the fire, put you on the seat, and we're going to slap you around. We're going to talk a nugget here about the Rays because you went on national radio and basically said, move them out of town. What the hell is that?
What is it? It's the God honest truth. That's what it is. Do you guys have any idea how patient Major League Baseball has been with this market? Do you have any idea? 20 years?
They want baseball
lousy
here.
Attendance?
They want baseball. You're in 1970s
mode.
1970s.
We don't support the Rays when they were good, when Joe Madden was prowling the sidelines.
Where are you saying that about the Bucks who can't draw flies? Should the Bucks move out of town? That's the same mentality.
They're not drawing 9,000 people when
but
the Royals
come in. But that's the same mentality. They're not drawing like the Redskins. They're not drawing like the Steelers. That's the same mentality. You're not saying, move out, baby. And that's a direct quote. Move out, baby. Move out. That's what you said about the Rays on national radio.
When the Bucks were good, they drew. When the Bucks were good, they drew. They owned this town. People were jumping off buildings for Buck tickets. I happened to go to the Rays on Tuesday afternoon game.
After you slam them on national radio, then you go
hey,
up.
Hey, I paid my $15 to sit in section 308.
Okay, so you know that when they do move and they answer your prayers, it's going to be a 4-hour drive for you to see baseball.
I'm not Mr. Homer over here. I'm trying to be objective, like you two schlubs should aspire to. And this is a lousy baseball market. It's a good spring training market.
But why would you want them to run away?
And it's the whole state. Look at the Miami. They got the beautiful ballpark. I've been there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was taking advantage of it.
Nobody's showing up. Nobody's showing up.
There's baseball there. I mean, it's a commodity.
You got these other markets are dying for baseball.
What market?
Your favorite town, Vegas.
Well, Nashville.
Charlotte. Nashville?
Well, Nashville, maybe. The way that's growing. But real quick.
I've got plenty to take you to task for.
I have plenty. All right. So what we're talking what? You think the Rays should be averaging what? Another 5,000 a night would make them worthy?
Every year they're last. Every year.
Okay.
Every
so
year.
Have they filed for Chapter 13 yet?
They don't have a viable stadium. I don't see one on the horizon.
Okay. Well, they're trying to build one.
Trying?
Yeah. They're trying to get one done, right? Have they not been trying to get one done?
I've heard that for the last 8 years.
All right, Ira, look.
Don't blame the Rays. St. Pete screwed the pooch on their sales stadium.
Television is a major part of professional sports. We all know that. Ratings for Rays games have been good for years, and they just got a big TV contract. So what? These little kids that you're worried about going to training camp, they can't watch their Rays now at home because Ira says 4,000.
If they're pulling in all this revenue, why are they looking to trade guys as soon as they start making some money? They're looking to trade them.
That's a valid question that goes to
Stoneberg. I like that one.
But Major League Baseball wants the Rays here because it's a TV revenue. Their national contracts, you take this team out of a top 11 market and in Florida, which is growing state, they're going to get less money from Fox. They're going to get less money from TBS, from ESPN, you name it, because that's less households.
People don't want to support baseball in Florida. And it's not the drive over to Howard Franklin. That's a lot of nonsense.
All right.
Yes,
all right.
It is. That's nonsense.
That's nonsense.
That's nonsense. They won't drive. Here's one for you. I was up in Milwaukee. And by the way, Matt Sinn will not miss one of your podcasts. He's a former producer for Channel 10. He's an assistant news director at the ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. He will not miss one of your podcasts. I talked to him at a Brewers game. Ran into him. And he loves you. He will not miss one of your podcasts.
Tell him to hire me. Tell him not. I'm ready to move to Milwaukee over there.
No, I don't think you want to move to Milwaukee.
Now I know what you're going to say. People drive 150 miles to go to a Brewers game.
In sleet. Oh, no, not just Brewers game, but Packers games. In sleet, in snow. They don't think anything of it. Here, beautiful weather, they won't drive half an hour. I mean, you can see why people across the nation, they hear people whine about driving across the bridge. Like, what's the matter with
you? Don't tell me you're buying this bridge nonsense over here, Isbit.
No, of course not. I don't buy any of that. But, Ira, you know, you could say the Rays don't know what they're doing, but they won 80 games last year. They're on pace to win 80 again. They got a bunch of young players. So there's a lot of teams spending a lot more money that are doing a lot worse.
Yeah, and as soon as you identify with one of their players and then they get to be a star status, they're gone.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So
I agree.
Which player's gone that would make them a lot better, Ira? Who's gone that would make them
better?
Oh,
he's really piling on you.
Look at you.
Who do you want back right now? Who do you want back? Come on.
Maybe Alex Cobb. You could fit him into the rotation. They're short a little bit. Longoria's gone. He's on my Giants.
He's hurt.
Got a busted hand.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They're innovating in baseball. People don't like it, but they're innovating.
Well, they're playing better than I thought they would, Lee.
I'll say that.
They're also 15 games out of first place. Let's not go too crazy here. And they're in a division with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Well, no, I don't know this. I'm not being sarcastic. What are they in the wild card race? How far are they out?
I don't know. Six or seven.
It's so early.
That's not so bad. Exactly. There's a lot of
games under 500. All right, let me tell you this. One of the great scams being perpetuated.
Oh, he loves that word.
Well, it's one of the greats. You know, the Rays had this 100 civic leaders trying to help get a stadium. One of the great scams out there is that the Rays doing everything they can to sell corporate tickets. It is the biggest scam going that they can't get enough corporate sales in this market. It's absolute baloney. They're not doing everything they can to do that. They're not reaching out left and right. They're not being as aggressive as they could be. It's not even close. Not even close. You know what?
I was there today. The suites are empty.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Ira? Lee and I own a company that's high profile in town. Doesn't mean we're loaded from it, but it's a high profile company.
Have they ever contacted you?
Has anybody tried to sell me Rays season tickets? No.
You're lucky they let you in the building.
That's true.
I know a lot of Rays, a lot of people and business owners, Rays have never contacted them either. It's a big scam because they want everyone to believe that, we don't have enough corporate support in St. Pete, and we need to move to Tampa to get those extra 3,000-4,000 corporate tickets, paper the house, and all that stuff. It's garbage.
Is Tampa a bustling corporate market, Lee?
No, it's better than St. Pete, but you're correct. You're correct. I'm just speaking from a selfish fan. Well, I love to see a new stadium. Yes, I don't care where. St. Pete, Sarasota.
And it better be a dome. And it better
retractable,
be a dome.
I hope. I don't necessarily think that if they put a stadium in Ybor City, that attendance is going to go up by 10,000 a game. I don't expect
the
that.
First year, they'll get a bump, Lee.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be the end thing to do. Yeah. It'll be a novelty.
Oh, they'll get a bump for probably 2.5, 2, 3 years because it just takes a lot of time, a lot of people. It's a big market. They want to go see it.
I just spent 10 minutes rebuffing your criticisms, gentlemen.
Well, all I know is you want to take away baseball from young children. You want to take it away from the community.
You want to take away baseball from yourself.
Listen to him, Lee.
You go on Chris Russo's show and sing. You sang. Get him. Move on, baby. And then 5 days later, you're going down to a game.
You're ready.
You know how many years Russo has asked me what's going on with a new stadium? The same freaking question.
Yeah.
The
same answer. Nothing's happening.
You're ready to tell 20-year season ticket holders to go scratch, go to Charlotte,
Lee,
go watch a game.
Him,
shame on you, Iris.
Move
Sage
on, baby.
Of Tampa
Should
Bay
I
queue Sports.
Up what I have on the phone?
No.
Yeah, look at him now. No, don't do that.
Sage is worried. All right, Iris.
When are we getting together again? When are we getting together again, gentlemen? Well, are we going to have an NFL
when the Rays move
by our next podcast? Could we have one?
I don't know. My guess, if I have to guess, we'll take your guess, too. I think the NFL drops this announcement if they have it. Assuming they have it, and I'm not convinced that they'll have it negotiated out by then.
A week from Friday.
No, if they have it, they'll drop it on Monday before July 4th, and it'll be big news for a day or two, and then every sports radio host in America is on vacation that week. All the big writers are on vacation. It'll get as buried as it could be.
I was thinking.
That's not bad,
Steve. I was thinking 5 o'clock Tuesday, which is July 3rd. That's what I was thinking. But Steve and I are on the same wavelength there.
So that's what I think. Ira, I don't know. You know what, Sage? I guess the important thing is, because I know that you're a man of the people, man of the fans. It'll be our last subject for today. When this thing comes down, however it comes down, are Bucks fans going to recover from this and support the team in the way the Glazers want the team supported?
It's a big hit. Lee, it's a big hit. It's a big hit. Whether you want to declare him the face of the franchise or not, he is.
Yeah.
He's been declared so by ownership. I guess, Steve, are you the one that asked me whether they're going to take his picture down off the facade or something?
I heard that.
Yeah, I asked you if you thought that would happen.
I said I don't think so, Lee, because that's you got the guy halfway out the door when you do that.
Yeah.
Do I think Jameis Winston is going to be the quarterback of the Bucks in 2019? I'd say there's a pretty good chance he's not.
Really?
I'd say there's a pretty good chance he's not. You know the first thing he's got to do? Win some freaking football games.
Oh, sure.
And I know that sounds harsh. He's only one guy. That's how you judge quarterbacks.
You
got to win games. Otherwise, you're Jeff George. You're Jeff George.
Thank you. People get mad when
that's
I say that.
That's a very good one.
People get mad when I say that. They, Jeff George. Well, he put up stats, but he didn't win.
Steve, I wrote in my column the other day. I don't know if you might not agree with it. If Winston goes 5-8 and throws for 4,000 yards, that's a bad year. That's a bad year. I don't want to hear about the 4,000
yards. When you said it, probably. That Jameis won't be here next year. Have the Glazers flipped that much? Because just
they don't want to flip. They don't want to flip. But if they don't win, if they don't win under Winston in 2018, what are the Glazers supposed to do?
Well, I remember a couple weeks ago, and now granted, we didn't know what the outcome of this investigation was, but 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I asked you, and I'm not trying to. This is not a raise issue here. Where I'm not trying to belittle you in any way.
No.
I asked you.
And I said they've got his back.
I even asked you, if for whatever reason Light was gone, would they actually bring in a general manager once get rid of him? You said absolutely not. And now you're
– Well, with this X factor of the suspension, the questions of how he handled himself in the aftermath, whether he was above board with the organization, the lack of winning – You lose the benefit of the doubt. Now you got football questions about Jameis Winston.
Sure.
You know what's going to be sad? You couldn't say this about Dilfer, but it happened to him.
He's got no saving grace right now. He doesn't have
to. You know what's going to be if he loses after this year.
You know what's going to be sad? It'll finally click from him 3 years from now with the Patriots, with the Cowboys, with somebody, and a son of a gun will be in a Super Bowl because people couldn't wait to run the guy out of town.
And
I can see
people
it.
That want to run him out of town will criticize the Bucks for
Thank
getting
you.
Rid of him.
Thank you. The thing, well, I can't remember what I was going to say, but yeah, they'll be the same people. Same people. But you know what? The sad thing about all this is, let's say that you go 0-3, which is possible. For 2 months plus, you're going to hear people screaming, not just cut Winston, fire Cutter. And cut, he's screwed. and no fault of his own. You know, he lost his quarterback for 3 weeks, no fault of his own. And you're going to have people screaming for 2+ months, screaming, get rid of Cutter, get rid of the talk shows, the blogs, the websites, get rid of Cutter, get rid of Cutter.
You know, that's what's sad. You know what?
Well, if he goes 0-3, I think he deserves it. I mean, like we've just sat here saying, if you can't win with your backup one game, then you pick the wrong backup and your team's not very good and enough already.
I can't remember where I read this, but allegedly the first 3 games the Bucs have this year, that's the strongest schedule to start a season in like 35, 40
that's
years.
That's daunting. That's daunting. But as I've said before, guys, and you got to agree with me, the NFL saving grace, the great thing about it, maybe the best thing about it, year to year, you don't know what the hell's going on.
Now, that's some teams, hope that this
some
year.
Teams like New England, you know, and maybe even Pittsburgh, you know. Mm-hmm. But New Orleans has been very up and down. They had a heck of a year last year.
Well, if there's any saving grace, as we sit here on June 26th, June 27th, there's recording pops. When the Steelers last played, Blake Bortles lit them up. Blake Bortles.
And a point Steve makes all the time is, you know, the Bills make the playoffs. The Jags are close to a Super Bowl. The Rams come out of nowhere. The Eagles. So, like, Buck fans are saying, where's ours?
Yep. Well, we're just talking not going 0-3. We're not talking about the playoffs. I just think, hey, if you go 0-3.
Why can't the Bucks have one of those years, Lee? One
well, they did, but it's called Raheem Morris. Yeah. They came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
really I think, Ira, and we can hit this on the next podcast along with maybe a Winston answer.
Are we going to have an emergency podcast?
We'll see. We might have to. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't predict emergencies.
Would you classify people forget this awful damn quick. Jameis had a winning season the second year.
He did.
And all of a sudden, people, one bad, not even one bad year, just one year where you get hurt. Oh, let's get rid of him.
Yep.
Did they come out of nowhere, you think, or not?
They almost came out of nowhere in 2016. Yeah, yeah. But dug an early hole again, Lee.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, one thing that's interesting, and we'll, like I said, we'll hit it on another podcast, but food for thought, Ira. You know, we've talked a lot, and we've knocked you a lot for ticket sales, about ticket sales and the importance there. But yet here we have the Buccaneers deciding that ticket sales are so important to us. Those season tickets are so damn important.
And they're lagging.
We're going to lock
and
out.
And they're lagging.
We're going to lock out fans from training camp to try to make it more attractive
that's
to buy season
tickets.
That's
a harsh way to put it, Steve. That's well, harsh.
It is what it is. So
as Derek Brooks would say.
When
they're trying to incentivize.
Yeah. But my point is that when we talk about season tickets or the ultimate response to fans about the Jameis situation, you know, maybe the response of fans is more important than we thought. Team Glazer's on the record saying that's why they fired Chucky.
Yes.
You know, we have used that quote many, many times. So something to think about.
I don't think we're close to having any kind of consensus about how Buck Nation feels about Jameis Winston. I think it's very divided. I think it's overwhelming people saying getting rid of him. I don't sense that.
You think that's just a loud crowd?
It's a vocal crowd, and it's not insignificant. But I don't think it's the majority. Okay. Just at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's the majority either. I think most people are just waiting to see what really happens. You know, the crazies though, they're out there. We love them, and they love you, Ira. And we will see you next time.